Thoughts.
Thank you. Wow. We're not proud of our past. I like that line. But we are proud of our pastor. Not me. Pastor Matt. Thanks, mate. Good on you, mate. Oh, it's good. You can drink it for me. You get doubly blessed. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you guys. Wow. Wow. Praise God. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about maximize your spiritual potential. Well put. That was last week. Today is maximize your intellectual potential. Hallelujah. Who wants to maximize their intellectual potential? Yeah. Got about four or five of us. I'll pray for the rest of you. I know you all do. I know you all do. How about this? Who doesn't want to maximize their intellectual potential? There, you've just one of us doesn't. Okay. Well, that's a good show. That's 99.9%, I think. So anyway, all jokes aside, I do want to warn you, though, I will break out into song at any given moment, so be ready. Proverbs 4:19, Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Is that a beautiful verse? I think King James says it quite well. The path of the just is like the light of dawn that shines more and more to the perfect day. It literally means until midday. So your life will be like the glow of the dawn that just becomes brighter and brighter until it's in the sky, until it's at its peak, which we call its zenith. So we talked about maximizing your spiritual potential already, and we won't go back over that. A lot of this is going to be touching on the same area, because God uses a lot of the same things to transform you. We could say that you can become a transformer. You can be transformed by the power of God working within you. Now, once in a while, we need to dust our stairwell. We need to wipe our tables. We need to do our dishes. And we need to wash our laundry. Who agrees with me on that? Now, some of us, I used to be a teenager, so I knew that washing laundry wasn't a big thing in my life. But one day, I dug at the pile of clothes at the bottom of my bed, and I found $300. So ever since, I've been very diligent about doing my laundry, because you never know. I've found some loose change since then, but I've never found that much money, but I'm still looking, which is why I look so sharp this morning. Still looking. Let's see. Got something in here. Oh, it's a bill. Okay, so if you don't do these things, essentially you're not a teenager, you're a toddler. We in our physical life, we have certain things that we need to do in our routine of our daily life to keep things, as we say, spick and span. In the world with us, around us, we're constantly bombarded with negative information. Media, books, TV, the internet, billboards, websites. In China, even when you're on the bus or on the beach, you still get bombarded by advertising, by signs, by music. I remember once going out to a place, those of you with a Chinese background may know, Tianzi. Tianzi is a heavenly lake, and it's up in Tianshan, which is the heavenly mountains. There's a lot of heaven in China. And I'm out there by this place, and they call it the Chinese Switzerland. It's beautiful blue lakes and mountains covered with snow and white fluffy clouds. You all know I love white fluffy clouds, right? And I'm going down by the lake and I'm just thinking, what a beautiful place, what a heaven on earth. So aptly named, and suddenly the karaoke music goes on. Even in a place where men could find peace, he wants to blast his mind with some amusement. You know what amusement means? Away from thinking. Isn't that something? When you're amused, you're away from thinking. I don't knock worship music. There are some days I just like to put it on. I put something on this morning when I was preparing this message, and I might even sing a bit of it later for you. But I do like sometimes to listen to worship music, but sometimes I just like to let the old ticker tick. You know, you might find in education, I read something recently, and the guy was saying, we have inundated our kids and filled their lives so full with media and devices that they don't have time to think. Now, they don't have time to get bored. And most of you would think boredom's not a good thing for kids. You know what? Boredom is the key to creativity. And that's a fact. Boredom is the key to creativity. Allow yourself to get bored. You might just find that when you're bored, that old ticker starts going and your creativity kicks in. You're made in the image of God. You're supposed to be creative. If you haven't thought of anything creative recently, maybe you haven't allowed yourself to be bored. Some of you probably think, yeah, you're the chairman of the board, aren't you? Oh, all the good stuff's not in my notes. Maximize your spiritual input and you'll minimize your negative output. I'll say that again. Maximize your spiritual input and you'll minimize your negative output. Mop the stairwell of your mind and your heart. Clean the clutter of your mind. Wash the clothes and the thoughts and the images from the outside world. Once I was relaxing watching a movie while my family was away, there was a scene that disturbed me and I struggled with it for 2 or 3 days until I had the courage to break that DVD. I mean, this is old school. Probably a lot of you don't have a DVD player on your computer. I don't anymore. If I had a DVD, I couldn't play it. I probably have to resurrect an old PC from the cupboard and give it a shot. But I cracked it in half and I put it in the rubbish bin because it was something in that movie that disturbed me. I can't at the moment remember what it was, but I remember cracking that movie in half. And I said to my kids, if I ever watch a movie that blasphemes the name of Jesus, I will turn it off. And my kids watched a lot of beginnings of movies that they didn't finish. Now, I had a special place to hide these movies. Yes, well put. And I thank God my kids were not tall enough to reach them. Proverbs 25:28 says, he who has no ruler over his own spirit is like a broken down city without a wall. And sometimes you feel like your life's inundated by attacks of the enemy, but maybe you've left a breach in your defenses. Something to think about. Last night, I was sharing with someone this morning. Last night, I was inundated with attacks of the devil during my sleep. I was so glad when the alarm finally went off. I leapt out of bed and I thought, I'm going to go and I'm going to review my sermon notes and, you know, get my PowerPoint ready and all that stuff. I was so happy to get out of my sleep because sometimes, even in your sleep, you can get attacked by the devil. Now, mostly I have great dreams. I go to North Korea, I go to India. Oh, I do these incredible exploits in my sleep. I should sleep more often. But once in a while, and last week, I had a dream in which I was attacked by a crocodile. Yes. And was I glad that I woke up? Definitely. I didn't look under my bed. I'm too big for that. I know there's no crocodiles under my bed. The mind is the doorway to your heart and the eyes are the window to the soul. Make sure that you don't go to bed and leaving the front door open, do you? I say a lot of guys say, Christian, I'm not scared of anything. I'm a man. I'm not scared of anything. I just say, go to sleep with your front door left open then. But the sad thing is that some people do that with the front door of their mind daily. They don't discipline themselves to not allow negative things to come into their life. And it's difficult these days. There's a couple of, once in a while I like to relax and I like to watch a good humorous or exciting TV show. But is it hard to find something where people who've not yet married are doing things that married people do? Is it not hard to find a movie that does not blaspheme the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It is. Because the devil, he's got an agenda. You notice, I'll tell you one thing that proves that Jesus is real. One thing that proves that Jesus is the Savior is that people don't go blaspheming Buddha. I have yet to see a movie in which someone drops something in the foot and says, oh, Sanyamuni, oh, Buddha. They don't. They definitely don't blaspheme the name of Muhammad. They'd be in for some serious consequences if they did. But you know what? We may not see the consequences in our life, but believe me, God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. And those that blaspheme the name of Jesus and drag his name through the mud like it's a curse word will have to give an account to God on the day of judgment. And that's not in my notes. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I will kick my foot and drop something on the floor and I'll say something untoward, but it's not blasphemy. It's not blasphemy. There's something precious about the name of Jesus. And that's why the devil wants to drag it through the mud. And that proves the deity of Christ. Because I tell you, go find me a Hollywood movie when someone blasphemes the name of Buddha. They don't. Because he's a man. I'm not saying he's a bad man. I didn't say that. I think he was a man who was sincerely seeking for the truth. And that's why a lot of the sayings of these pre-Christian religions are so similar to that of Christ. Confucius said, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Sounds something surprisingly similar to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I believe Confucius was looking towards the day our Savior would come. Maximize the input of light and the darkness will flee. Several jokes about that. I'll just tell you a couple. If you laugh a lot, I might tell you three, but I'll start with two. How many Pentecostals does it take to change a light bulb? 100. One to put the light bulb in, 99 to curse the demons of darkness. Oh, that was a low laugh, that one. How many software engineers does it take to change a light bulb? None. It's a hardware problem. I got a better response to that. I'll stop while I'm ahead. Thank you. Maximize the input of light and darkness will flee of itself. You know, if you go into a dark room, the best thing to do is just turn on the light and the darkness will flee. Darkness technically does not exist. Darkness is the absence of light. Only where light exists is darkness known. The Bible talks about the renewal of our mind. And that's the first way we can maximize our intellectual potential is to actually renew our mind. That's why I gave the analogies about sweeping our stairwell. I used to live on the fifth floor of a Chinese apartment building. No one swept the stairwell. Once every month or so, I'd sweep the stairwell. Once every 3 months or so, I'd buy a great big whopping can of paint and I'd paint the whole stairwell for everybody. Now, everybody really loved me because of this. They probably thought I was loco as a barrel of bats, but they respected the fact that I like to live in a clean environment. It didn't cost much in China. I wouldn't want to do it today. Paint's pretty expensive in Australia. And those of us who live in places that have body corporates, they do a better job here too. I will say that. But God has given us a great analogy is to reformat our hard drive. Once in a while, you just need to reformat your hard drive. You know, last year around New Year's, I went on a holiday, and I don't know what happened on that holiday. I actually lost my hard drive, and when I came back to Brisbane, my Outlook didn't work, and I uninstalled it and reinstalled it and uninstalled it and reinstalled it. You guess what I'm going to say next? You're good. I had to reformat my hard drive. I had to reload Windows to install a fresh version of Microsoft Office. Sometimes we need to do that with our mind and our heart. Essentially, that's what happens when we receive Jesus as our Savior. He wipes our slate clean and he gives us a new start. How does he do that in a continuing process? That's the initial we call justification. The initial, I was saved, I was born again, I was forgiven, I became a Christian, I converted, whatever way you want to put it. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water with the word. The word of God cleanses you and makes you ready. He might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I think we have a picture of a bride there. I like that one because I like to think of the lion as Jesus. I can pretty much guarantee all of you today, who's ever been on a date? My, you're a spiritual bunch. Okay, the honesty's swelling. If you have, I bet you had a shower. I bet you got really dressed very nicely. You put on your best perfume or cologne if you're a man. Yeah, some of you are pointing to your wife and say she puts on her best communion every time, best perfume every time she comes to church. But I bet you spent more time at the beauty salon on the day you were married than any other day in your life. Except you guys, of course, you know. We know. You know what I'm talking about. And I hope you spent some time to be ready to be in the presence of God this morning? I know I did. I even had a shower and washed my hair. And I even ironed my shirt, believe it or not. Man, that's radical. The day before, I should have done it the day before, but I did it this morning. A date with the Lord, very well put. I like that. When you come to church, you're having a date with Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is a secondary renewal. This is what we call sanctification. It actually says sanctification. Now, what sanctification means? It's a big word, isn't it, sanctification? You don't generally see it in the media or hear it in conversation. It's what you do after you eat dinner. You wash the dishes and you put them on the rack to dry. You set them aside for further use once having been cleansed. So if you your wife asks you, what are you going to do after dinner, honey? Guys, if she cooked, you say, I'm going to attend to the ministry of sanctification. She'll think, wow, I married a spiritual one here, didn't I? Hallelujah. Some of you engaged people are taking notes. That's good. So you may say, well, look, I've been saved once by grace. Why do I need to read the Bible every day? Well, that's a good question. Let me ask you this. If you're Chinese, I mean, most of you are not, but it's like a Chinese person saying, I'm Chinese. Why should I eat rice every day? I'll give you a challenge. Try not doing it for 2 months, or try not eating bread, spaghetti, pasta, and potatoes if you're a white guy like me. And come and see me in 2 months, and then we'll talk about it. You'll be able to see me, but I won't be able to see you. You get it? Don't be so audacious as to think that you don't need to read the Bible every day. You do. You do. 每天都吃饭. I eat rice every day, so I need. You knew that's what I meant, Matthew. So I need to read the Bible every day. Because Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus, when he was saying that, was quoting the scripture of Deuteronomy. He quoted Deuteronomy 3 times. Some of you don't like Deuteronomy. Some of you don't like Leviticus. I love Leviticus. I give you a challenge. Read Leviticus and look at every sacrifice and ask yourself and God, what is this telling me about Jesus' sacrifice for me on the cross? And then you'll see it's all a shadow of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Beautiful. But some of us would go 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months without reading the Bible. Could you live in a stairwell like that, a table like that, a laundry basket like that, just waiting? Sometimes you just need to take out the trash. And sometimes you need to take out the trash in your mind. I do it every day. I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I'll be honest with you, I'll make my cup of coffee. That seems to be my priority, but it's just a means to an end. Then while my coffee's brewing, I go and I wash my face because I'm very time-orientated. I don't want to waste any time. And by the time I washed my face and got back to the kitchen, I hear that lovely sound. Do you like that sound? It sort of goes like this. It's not beatboxing. I can't do that. I call it sputtering. I say, my wife, if I'm really busy, if you hear that sound, can you turn off the stove for me? And then I go put my coffee in my cup and I go sit in my favorite little corner of the living room with a view of the balcony and Brisbane skyline, and I read my Bible, 5 or so chapters every day. And then I set my alarm for 30 minutes and I have my sweet half hour of prayer. And that's my routine. And many times, I tell you, I don't get to pray for everything I need to pray for, and I set it for another 30 minutes. I'll just be honest with you. When I started, it's like 30 minutes. What am I going to talk about for 30 minutes? As you know, I can talk about things for 30 minutes, but talking to God for 30 minutes, some of us can barely make 5. But I tell you, the more you do it, the easier it gets. It's like working out at the gym, riding a bicycle, having a swim. I don't know if you've never swum for a whole year and you get in the pool. It's like, oh, I think I can see the edge. You catch your breath and you swim back. But if you do that every day, after a while, you'd be 40 laps. You'd be 1 kilometer. Oh, it's only an hour. I'll just keep going. I'm hardly tired. I'm hardly breaking out of sweat. Who breaks out of sweat in the swimming pool? Oh, too quick, guys, too quick. Think about it for a minute. Sweating in the swimming pool. You guys are hilarious. You're hilarious. Just remember, if you don't put gas in your Ford, you won't go trucking for the Lord. What am I talking about? Some of you know. Give me gas in my Ford, keep me trucking for the Lord. Give me gas in my Ford, I pray. Some of you are like, oh, shucks. Am I in the right place? Someone's thinking. Okay, I'll stop there. There's two more to come. Brace yourself. We talked about the first kind of renewal last week. That's a spiritual renewal. And you might say spiritual renewal is ultimately important. And the spiritual is important. But remember, spiritual is part of your being. It's not your whole being. You can't just attend to the spiritual. Otherwise, you'd be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. And if you're spiritually renewed, it will manifest in the intellectual, emotional, and social parts of your life. I can guarantee you that. So make a primary effort to be spiritually renewed. Titus 3:3 says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. When you're born again, it's a washing of regeneration, and then the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The renewing of the Holy Spirit is a process that precedes that. As we said before, it starts with justification, the renewal of innocence, and then it starts with sanctification, which is like guys doing dishes. Or girls doing dishes if you guys cook. Being justified, this renewal of the Holy Spirit, He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a beautiful passage. Oh my. The Bible is so beautiful, guys. It's so beautiful. It's so poetic. It's so classic. It gets me every time. It gets me every time. So beautiful. You know, some even secular authors say that the Bible is a book of astounding poetry. The Sermon on the Mount is outstanding poetry. The Proverbs are outstanding poetry. The gospel, the book of Acts is said by some to be incredible because of its knowledge of nautical terms, and writing of that is impossible to be a fake. So renew your minds by reading the Bible every day. This is so important. Reformat your hard drive by receiving a new spirit from God. The presence of God in your life. And upload some software by reading the Bible, okay? Upload some software. And sometimes you need to do a defrag. Your computer just slowly starts to slow down. And for all your young people, that's a good analogy when you're witnessing to your friends. Say to them, you feel like your life is just like a cluttered hard drive. Maybe you need a reformatting. Maybe Jesus needs to come in and forgive all your mistakes, all your errors, you know, clean up your registry, clean up your junk files, delete your deleted items, and come in and give you a fresh new start. It's a good analogy. So, read one chapter before you go to bed, okay? Defragment your hard drive by saying to God, look, I'm sorry for this. I could have done that better. Sometime I think at night, and hindsight's 20/20. We all know that. Oh, if I'd only said that in that situation, that would have gone over. But if I'd only done that, I had a chance to do something, but I missed it. That's okay. And just say, God, help me to learn that lesson and be ready to do better next time. Read one chapter of the Bible before you go to bed, pray and turn out your light, and I guarantee you, your sleep will be sweeter. If you read it with your wife, then your sweetheart will be sleepier. I always used to sing a song. I sung it last week. I'm going to do it again. Where's everyone going? If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused someone to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. And you can just say it in your own words. Just say, Jesus, I tried to be a good boy today. I tried to do everything that was on my checklist and you know, but I still feel like I didn't make it. Lord, even if I can't put my finger on anything particularly, I pray you just forgive me. I want to go to sleep with no burdens on my heart. I cast them all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most days you can actually think of something that you did that wasn't pleasing to God. And so, not to condemn yourself, but just keep up to date with your balance your books before you go to bed in accounting terms. If you had a business, you know what I mean. Before you shut the shop, you want to just balance your books. You want to make sure everything's where it should be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The person who's open to God's conviction is a humble person. The one who is not, the Bible says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And that's in James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5. I follow the church's daily Bible reading plan because I want to achieve my maximum spiritual, intellectual, and mental potential. If you get up and eat and rush off to work, you may achieve the maximum potential in your life in a physical and even a financial sense. And that's good. You're meant to walk. You're meant to run. But you have potential to fly. Yes. The Bible says that. And you know the quote, Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Mount up with wings as eagles. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. I spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I love that song. A song based on the gospel. I believe I can fly. And one day I will fly. One day I will fly. Jesus is like a big magnet. And when he comes down, he's going to pick up all the little iron filings that have got the mark of his spirit in their hearts. And we're going to be with him forever, with the Lord forever. We're going to meet him in the air. Are you ready? Hallelujah. I got a song about that, but I'll spare you. Woo! Oh, Joe, I'm up to the challenge. There's going to be a meeting in the air. No, that's it. But if you read one chapter of the Bible, such as the Gospels or Proverbs, before you go to work, you will achieve your maximum potential in the social area of your life as well. You know, the book of Proverbs is one of the best books about human relationship, and it serves it up to us in a daily dose. I used to read the book of Proverbs every day on the way to work when I was in Sydney, when I was 23, pastoring a church. I'd go to work, and I'd read a book of Proverbs, and I'd memorize one of those verses, and in the night, I'd go back, and I'd do my church. If you read one chapter of the Psalms every day, I guarantee you, it will help you to maximize your potential in the spiritual areas of your life. Reading the Psalms helps you to achieve your maximum potential in your spiritual life because it helps in your spiritual transformation. It helps you know how to worship, how to pray, how to praise, how to prophesy. The book of Psalms is incredible. You know, it's a prayer book. Five prayer books amalgamated into one. That's why the Bible actually has 70 books and not 66, because in Hebrew there's five books of Psalms and we merged them into one. Reading the Proverbs and the epistles in the New Testament and the Gospels, read Romans through Jude, helps you to achieve your maximum potential in your family and social life because it teaches you many things about our interaction with our fellow human beings. It will help you to be a better child, a better workmate, a better spouse, a better parent, and basically just a better human being. You know, the more you eat, the more well-rounded you become. Someone can relate to that, I know. As you follow these concepts in your life, it will give you a dynamic life. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit is dunamis. It's where we get dynamite from. When you have the Holy Spirit's power in your life, you're dynamic. You're dynamite. You're explosive. You're miraculous. You're transformative. If you take notes, now I'm going to tell you a few tips quickly in closing. Oh, and slowly, I've got half an hour. No, I'll do it for your benefit, okay? Some tips. One, we've talked about it already. Renew your mind. Romans 12, 1 to 2 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that present yourself a living sacrifice to God, that you might prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. And be not transformed, be not conformed to the fashion of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you give yourself to God as a living sacrifice, then you will be transformed. You see, many people want to find God's will, but the secret to finding God's will is to having no will of your own. Most of us fill out a page like that and say, God, this is my plan. Sign the bottom. God wants you to fill out a page like this and sign the bottom and say, God, fill in your plan for me. That goes along with the message of the cross that we thought about today during communion. One, renew your mind. The Bible tells us that we should set our mind on positive things. There's a lot of negativity in the media, so look for something positive to think about. There's a lot of anxiety. People suffer anxiety attacks. The Bible has a cure for that, Philippians 4, 6. Don't be anxious for everything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and this is the third point, think on lovely things. Whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We've all been guilty in this media frenzy of the last 2 years, just seeing a bunch of piranhas trying to eat you. That's what it is. But let us think of something lovely to think about. Hey, you know, you face the danger in the face. You think, well, so what if I'm dying? I'm ready. That's not a big deal. Let's just move on. That box is already ticked. I know where I'm going, and I don't need to be afraid of it because the day of my death is written in God's book, so let me enjoy my life while it lasts. I love a cartoon. Charlie Brown sitting down with Snoopy on the pier, and Charlie Brown saying, you know, Snoopy, what's he saying? I didn't rehearse this. He says, you know, Snoopy, Charlie says, you know, Snoopy, we only live once. And Snoopy says, nope, we die once, but we live every day. Let us be people that focus on living every day, shall we? Focus on the good thing. What's good? Someone asked me out for a lunch at a German restaurant. I'm going to be thinking about that during this week. They said there were sausages involved. I'm going to be thinking about that during this week. I'm going to set my mind on lovely things, on things worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Think on lovely things. When I was living in China, I remember one of the highlights of my day. It'd come around about 3:30, and I went to go pick up my little kiddies at school. They're not little anymore. I miss that. And I start to smile as I went up the hill towards their church because I had this happy thought in my life. These two little gorgeous girls are going to come running out of the gate. Daddy, daddy, give me a big hug. And then we walk home hand in hand and we get some snacks at the market. That's setting your mind on something lovely. Set your mind on something lovely. Choose something lovely. Choose to be positive. Choose to be a blessing. Whatever is commendable, honorable, pure, lovely. What you read on the internet is not that. Don't spread it. Think of something lovely. Hallelujah. Nearly every day I send my daughter cat memes on Messenger because she's got a cat. So we have this little thing going where we post these positive, fluffy, funny images of cats. The Bible admonishes us not to dwell on earthly things but to dwell on heavenly things. Colossians 3, 4 says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Can you picture Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God? And you know, I love the part in the Bible where Stephen's getting stoned. You think, where's he going with this? But Jesus stands up, it says. Jesus stands up. When Stephen says, in your hands I commit my spirit, hold this not against them. Jesus stands up. When I'm thinking of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, I'm thinking the day I go to meet him, he's going to stand up. I don't know what I'm going to do. I like to think I'd run towards him and give him a big hug. I'll probably fall at his feet because he's so awesome. But I tell you one thing, I know he will stand up. That's what I'm going to think about today. That's what I'm going to get. I got positive vibe. I'm feeling happy already. My cheeks are cramping. I'm smiling so much. Yeah, well put. The problem with a lot of people, okay, I'll finish that reading from Paul. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him. See, for a lot of people, Christ is not our life. He's our hobby. He's something we do on Sunday. Now, you're married, man. How much would your wife love you if you said to her after church, see you next week, honey? She'd be like, don't we live at the same place? But that's sometimes the way we are with God. And I'm not saying God lives in the church. I mean, he does, but he also lives in your place. So make sure you have that date with God every day. Make sure you have that time where you put aside and you put him. I put him first in my priority by putting him first in my schedule. I put him first in my priority by putting him first in my finances. But we had that talk this morning. Funny, someone at the back said to me, nice shirt, you look like $1 million. And they thought, they're underestimating their compliment. Then they said to me, that's a nice shirt. You look like $2 million. I say, brother, I want to look like $10 million because I want to tithe $1 million to the church. That sounds generous, doesn't it? I still get 9. But you see, think of something positive. Always be ready with a positive comeback. When it's raining, I like to say, I hope the rain keeps up. People are like, what? Why are you hoping the rain keeps up? I say, so it won't come down. Think of something positive. You like that one? Someone once said, don't tell me what you believe. Tell me what you do all day and I'll tell you what you believe. Is your life an obvious advertisement to the saving power of Jesus Christ? One of my neighbors once said to me, I know you're different. Are you a priest or something? I said, you nearly got it. I'm a pastor. But she could, I don't know how she saw something different. Probably because I'm walking around the corridor all day singing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. March around the swimming pool in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. What makes you think I'm a pastor? Don't everybody do that? Set your mind on spiritual things, the Bible says. For those, Romans 8:5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. You see, are we, challenge ourselves, are we living according to the flesh? Or are we living in the Spirit? Are we setting our mind on things of the flesh? Or are we setting our mind on things of the Spirit? To set your mind on flesh is to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God. Hostile towards God. You don't want to be hostile towards God. You want to be friendly to God. Remember, I love this passage in Isaiah. I was telling you before how the Bible is such beautiful poetry. G'day, sister. This Bible passage is so beautiful. This picture, first time I read this, I thought, wow, this is so, so beautiful. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon him. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and don't return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word go forth that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. I love that. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish that for which I purpose. It shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Make sure you're going out with joy. Make sure you're led forth with peace. If there's something bugging you, give it to Jesus. Cast your burden upon Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. You don't have to suffer for them again. The mountains and hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We need to set our mind on things above. I said to my wife yesterday, actually I sung it. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through.
My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
There's a second voice? Okay, spare you. Praise the Lord. But that's the truth, my friend. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just visiting this planet. I'm an alien. I belong to another kingdom. My Father's going to take me home to His house. That's what I'm going to think about His house. Hallelujah. 6.6. Choose to believe the best of other people. You have a choice when you think of other people. Believe the worst or believe the best.
I remember once a guy was giving marital counsel and he was talking to the people separately, and he went and talked to the husband. He said, what is it with your wife? She's always nagging all the time. And the counselor said, well, you must admit, though, she looks beautiful when she smiles. He said, yeah, it's true. Went to talk to the wife. Said, what's it with your husband? What can't you stand about him? She said, always leaves his stuff around. And the counselor said, well, he's a good provider, isn't he? She said, yeah, I guess so. He went back to the husband. He said, what did my wife say about me? He said, she said you're a good provider. Oh, that's sweet. Went back to the wife. Hey, what did my husband say about me? Oh, he said you look really pretty when you smile. Those two got together again. They forgot about the problems. Someone just had to draw that truth out in them. Someone had to draw that thing out in them that they appreciated about the other person. There's something that you appreciate about your wife. And believe it or not, there's something she appreciates about you. Speaking to this husband here. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. I said in marital counsel a couple of weeks ago with a couple, put your name in there as a test. Let's do it. Chris is patient and kind. I'm already feeling uncomfortable. Chris does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, does not insist on his own way, is not irritable or resentful. He rejoices with the truth. Chris bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now abides faith, hope, and Chris. But the greatest, the greatest of these is love. So you know what I mean? If you put yourself in the picture, always put yourself in the Bible story, okay? Make it your own. If it's about something else, it's not about you, why bother reading it? It is not just poetry, although it is beautiful poetry. The New Testament in particular is not a history lesson. It's a manual, an operations manual for the human life. That's what the Bible is. Try to get something out of it every day that you can relate to yourself. For the longest time, I was very impatient. In fact, I would anger very easily. So this was difficult for me to read with my name in it. Chris is patient. He does not get irritable. It was ages. I mean, I'm doing better today. Until you rub me up the wrong way. But no, I'm just joking. But God's helped me to overcome that. But it's a good checkup from the neck up. If you want to examine your life in the light of Scripture, just look at 1 Corinthians 13 and say, how do I fit in? The Bible says to live in hope. Number 7, live in hope. Have something to hope for. Hope is faith married with expectancy. Hope is believing that something promised will come to pass. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father's given us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason that the world does not know us is because it didn't know Him. And beloved, we're God's children now, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when we see Him, we will be like Him. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself as He is pure. Rather than making purity a goal, make Jesus your goal, and purity will be the result. When you hope in the second coming of Jesus, when you hope in the expectancy of seeing Jesus face to face, you will live a holy life. is the byproduct of looking to Jesus. Number eight, have positive input. It's so important you have positive input in your life. When I read the Bible in the morning, I always look for something that's going to touch my heart. Sometimes I read a passage, so many things touch my life. So if you see me put two or three verses on Facebook, it's because I've read something really good and I just can't hold back. Nearly every day, I'll put a verse on Facebook and you know where it comes from now. It comes from my daily Bible reading. Something just jumped out and hit me in the heart. It's what we call a rhema or a rhema. It's something I believe God put in the Bible for me. And it just touches my heart. Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And when you get that thing, meditate on it. I used to write a verse down and put it in a plastic bank book holder in my pocket, and I'd look at it all day long. By the end of the day, I'd have it memorized. Memorization of Scripture is not very popular today, not very in vogue. But I guarantee you one thing. It's been once said, and I believe it's true. What you memorize will motivate you subconsciously. If you can say, love is patient, love is kind. If that's all you get today, you go home and think about that. Love is patient, love is kind. Help me to be patient, help me to be kind. It's transformative. Suddenly you'll be feeling patient, you'll be feeling kind because you're meditating, you're ruminating. You're like a cow chewing the cud. Are you leading worship? Then read books on worship. Search worship on YouTube. Worship teaching. Are you growing in evangelism? Then read books on evangelism. We hope, I've discussed this with Pastor Matt, so I'm not going to say this lightly, but I hope to transform my office into a church library. If you have any extra books at home you're not reading that you think won't be an advantage to the church, donate them. And then you will be a free, you'll have a library membership and you can take out a book every week and return one every week. Sound like a good idea? Just think, if we each donated a book on something that was dear to us, that was a dear topic to us. Maybe it's so, I don't want to lose my book. It's got all my notes in it. We'll buy a new one at Coorong and donate it to the church library, and then you take one out that you want to study on. And we'll have, you know, we did that in China. We ended up having a room. It was like about the size of that room and wall-to-wall bookshelves, and it was just full of English and Chinese books. When we made a vacuum, God filled it. Nature abhors a vacuum. Have positive input. So important. Make a conscious effort to do things to help others. Have positive output. See, a lot of these things are internal. But you know what happens when water comes into a pool and it doesn't get let out? It becomes dead. That's what the Dead Sea is. It's a body of water that has no outlet and it's got too much salt for life to exist. Not animal or vegetable life can exist in the Dead Sea. You can sit up in it and have a cup of coffee. You don't sink. Its salt content is so heavy. But let not that be said of your mind. Let your mind be something that has got constant fresh input and constant fresh output. Let you see how excited Oscar was about going out on Friday. I know Pastor Matt was the same. He said, it's so good to be out in the street again. It's so good to be out delivering food. But seeing people and sharing the gospel with them and praying for people to get saved and just seeing how they light up when someone cares. Amen. Positive output. You don't want to stagnate and die. Above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and spiritual songs in thankfulness in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The key point, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Do a conscious act of love. I remember seeing a movie once and the guy said something really struck with me. He just said, do random acts of kindness. Random acts of kindness. And sometimes we hear about those random acts of kindness actually physically transforming lives. Sometimes you just respond to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, go to that one and say something. No, that didn't make any sense. No, not yield to your mind. Yield to the Spirit. Yield to your spirit, to the Lord's Spirit within you. Love God's Word. So important to transform your mind to love God's Word. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they that love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. King James says, great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. People today are so easily offended. You know that? They're so easily offended. They're so easily offended that some of us try not to say anything lest we might offend someone. Debate is healthy. I love to hear people express negative views towards what I believe because then I have a faith. I have a chance to defend my faith. I have a chance to try to persuade their mind into thinking God's way, or what I believe is God's way. The Hebrew says there, nothing can be a stumbling block to them. If you love God's word, nothing will stumble you. Nothing will offend you. You will have grace for everything. So that's okay. I'm looking to Jesus. That's okay. Be like Paul and Silas, chained up into prison, singing hymns at midnight. That's okay. Just thinking about Jesus. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. The secret of peace is not necessarily being around peaceful people, but having your mind locked into a peaceful place. There was a while ago, there was a contest in the United States to draw a picture that depicted peace. And most people put these still lakes and pastoral scenes, you know, and sheep up the side of the tree in the shade and all these lovely things, flowers at the sunset. One guy put this bird hanging over a branch. He'd doubtless seen this somewhere. It was a little bird in a nest with his two little chicks. It was in front of a raging waterfall. And the subject was peace. That bird and those chicks had perfect peace because they were in a peaceful place. Their mind was focused on the peaceful place, not on the raging waterfall. The raging waterfall could actually have kept them safe because the predators would not want to go near it. But the birds had perfect peace because they were in a peaceful place. Focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses and we've talked about so many cases, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. You learned a few things today. I'll just review these points very, very quickly in passing. Just review them. Renew your mind. Set it on positive things, lovely things, heavenly things, spiritual things. Believe the best of people. Live in hope. Have positive input and positive output. Love the word of God. Think about Jesus and focus on him. Let us stand together, shall we? I'd like to pray for you all. I believe we can have a real breakthrough. I believe that 2022 can be a year of positivity. We choose to be positive people. I pray for everyone here, Lord Jesus, to achieve and maximize their intellectual capacity and potential in this coming year in Jesus' name. Now, some of you, if you're here for the first time, you might not have started your spiritual journey, but you were thinking, look, what he's talking about, I'd like to have that in my life. I'd like to have that peace. I'd like to have that purpose, that positivity in my life. We've all sinned, and that's the problem. Our sins have separated us from God. But God, the Bible says in Romans 3, God treats everyone alike. He accepts people because they have faith in Jesus Christ. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God treats us better than we deserve because of Jesus Christ. He freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. God sent Jesus to be our sacrifice. And Christ offered his life's blood so that by faith in him, we could come to God. God did this to show that in the past, he was right in being patient and forgiving towards sinners. And God shows us right now, he accepts people who put their faith in Jesus. This verse, amen, says that we're all equal in God's sight. We're all equal. Equal in the sense that we're guilty. Equal in the sense that God wants to save us and Jesus took the punishment for our sin. So we not have to be punished for our sin. We're passed from judgment and into life. Passed from knowing God as judge and knowing him as Father. If you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, just where you are right now, I'd ask you to boldly raise your hand in the presence of God and those here and the holy angels. Just raise your hand up to God. Don't be shy. God's looking at you today. And just repeat with me, if you're watching at home, on the World Wide Web or not, you can join along with us. Let's join these that are giving their heart to Jesus for the first time today as we pray this prayer together. Dear God, I know I am a sinner. I deserve your punishment. But Jesus took my punishment. And I turn from my sin now. And I turn to you. Please forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to do something for you now. If you've given your heart to Jesus for the first time today, I'd like you to come forward because we have a gift for you. I believe we have a gift for you. And I'd love to give you that gift now. Anyone, thanks, bro. Anyone who's given their life to Jesus for the first time today, please come forward and I'd like to give you a gift. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. And my sister here. God bless you, sister. Let's give these a warm welcome, shall we? God bless you, sister. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Brother James, I believe you can catch up with these two girls in a bit. Oh, isn't that wonderful to see people giving their hearts to Jesus? Isn't that wonderful? Now, in a minute, I'm not sure, where's the...